السلام عليكم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، نحمده ونصلي ونسلم على رسوله الكريم، أما بعد، فعن ابن عمر رضي الله عنهما قال: سمعت رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم قال: إنما الأعمال بالنيات، أو كما قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم، رواه البخاري رحمه الله تعالى. رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي. سبحانك لا علم لنا إلا ما علمتنا إنك أنت العليم الحكيم. اللهم انفعنا بما علمتنا وعلمنا ما ينفعنا وزدنا علما. إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي، يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما. اللهم صل وسلم وبارك على سيدنا ومولانا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه وأتباعه وأزواجه وذرياته. This hadith which I have recited to you is a very famous hadith, and the reason I have chosen this hadith today is that this is the first hadith of a short compilation of 40 ahadith gathered together by my beloved teacher and Shaykh Hazrat Mawlana Muhammad Salim Durrat Sahib Hafidhahullah Ta'ala. So by way of introduction, before explaining the hadith, I will mention that you will have seen that ulama make it a habit of gathering 40 ahadith in compilations. For example, here in the masjid, we have a small compilation, 40 ahadith in the masjid. Sometimes 40 ahadith miscellaneous, sometimes 40 ahadith on a certain topic. So the reason for that is that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has mentioned that whoever preserves 40 ahadith and presents them to the ummah, so he will gain certain virtues. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam will intercede for him on the day of judgment. He will be resurrected with the true ulama. He will be resurrected with the martyrs and the shuhada. So because there is a virtue for compiling 40 ahadith, so you will see that the ulama, and many a time non-ulama as well, they make it a purpose to compile 40 ahadith and present them to the ummah. Maybe sometimes on a certain topic and sometimes in general. So I decided that the hadith in this compilation of my beloved teacher and sheikh, they are very simple and they relate to each and every person. So we will go through them. Here I should also mention that connecting ourselves to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is extremely important. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam as a role model. A role model means that someone who you need to copy, someone who we need to follow if we want to achieve success. And if we don't copy that role model and we try to find our own way to success, we will not. That is what being a role model means. If we say, for example, that in business this person is a role model, look at how he has opened his, look from 10 years ago he opened his business, he barely had anything to his name, and look where he is now. He is a role model. That means if you want to become a successful businessman, look at how he did it. So similarly, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam as a role model. Role model for what? For the path to Jannah. So if we want to reach the path to Jannah, we cannot just make the purpose that I want to become pious. No. I want to become pious and follow in the footsteps of my beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And to connect ourselves to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we need to learn about Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. If we go back to this example, if someone says this businessman is a role model in business, that means now you will have to go to him. You will have to ask him, how did you do it? What were the key points you think that led to your success? What were you very particular about? You will have to find out about his life.
Maybe you'll have to, if you want to go a step further, you'll have to request him that, can I spend a few days with you in your business day? So in the same way, if we want to read Jannah, we have to follow the role model. And the role model is Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Therefore, we have to find out about Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And to find out about Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we need to connect ourselves to the ahadith of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and to the seerah of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The ahadith of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, quotes, statements of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, incidents around about the actions of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and similarly the seerah of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the general life of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We will have to connect ourselves to these two things if we want to know about this role model. These two are necessary for every Muslim. This is why you will find that the ulama, they always talk on these two topics. They always talk on the topic of seerah, and they always talk about general topic of the ahadith of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, sometimes the specific ahadith of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And alhamdulillah, in this masjid we have programs for both. On a monthly basis we have a seerah program, on a monthly basis we have a hadith program. If people are willing to offer more time, we have the sanitation program where there is a lesson every week on hadith and there is a lesson every week on seerah. But if we are serious that we want to end up in Jannah, then we need to become serious about following the footsteps of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And therefore we need to become serious about learning his life. But here I should also mention, connect yourself to the ahadith of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, but there is a correct way of doing it and there is an incorrect way of doing it. The correct way of doing it is that a person finds an alim, finds someone who has knowledge in this field and studies under him. Or if he is unable to do this, he finds a book written by an alim with the ahadith, with the explanation, an authentic, reliable alim, and he uses that. This is the correct method. And the incorrect method is that a person, he opens a book of hadith himself. He opens Sahih al-Bukhari, the translation himself, and he starts reading through it. Or any book of hadith. Now you might say, why is this the incorrect method? What is wrong with it? Looking, opening Sahih al-Bukhari, Sahih Muslim, opening any book of hadith directly? So the answer to this is very simple. To understand the hadith directly by looking at its Arabic text or looking at its translation, there are many subjects that you need to understand beforehand. It is just like, for example, to understand GCSE biology, you cannot open the GCSE biology textbook and start studying it. To understand GCSE maths, you cannot open the GCSE maths textbook and start studying it. No, there are some subjects, there are certain topics that need to be covered before that. And if you don't cover those topics and you try to go straight to the GCSE textbook, then you will misunderstand what is going on there. You will think you have understood correctly, but in fact you will have misunderstood. So similarly, to understand the hadith of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam directly from the Arabic text, from the translation, there are some topics that a person needs to study beforehand. If he has not studied this beforehand, then he will misunderstand the text. He will misunderstand the text, and as a result, he will misunderstand his deen. And he will misunderstand the life of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And he will not realize. And in the books of history, ulama have mentioned incidents about such people. And the incidents are laughable. How badly they misunderstood the hadith of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But one example comes to mind which I will mention to you right now. In one hadith, it is mentioned that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam naha anil hilaqi yawm al jumu'ati qabla as salah. These are the words, or the approximate words. Naha anil hilaqi. And this, the correct translation of this hadith is Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam prevented people from making small halaqas, small groups in the masjid before the Jumu'ah Salah. That this should not be done. That people make their own. So no, everyone should gather by the minbar and wait for the khutbah. This is the correct translation of the hadith. But the word in the hadith is hilaq. And if you read this word incorrectly, and you say halaq, or halq with a jazm, then it means to shave your hair. So there was a person who opened a book of hadith. He came across this hadith. And he had a bit of understanding of Arabic. But even a bit of understanding of Arabic is not enough to understand the hadith of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam directly. There are many other topics as well as Arabic. So he misunderstood the word. And he used to say to people that Alhamdulillah, for so many years I have made sure I have never shaved my hair before the Salah of Jumu'ah. Whereas the hadith does not mean anything like that at all. It means don't make groups in the masjid before the Salah of Jumu'ah. This is just one example. This is not my topic, so I will not go into the incidents that the ulama mentioned. But a person, there is a method of studying the hadith of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and a person should adopt that. So, on to this hadith now. إِنَّمَا الْأَعْمَالُ بِالنِّيَّةِ. Translation, actions are according to the intentions. Actions are judged, actions are rewarded based on the intentions. Now, this hadith, the ulama have and the muhaddithin have given it extreme importance. How important? The unanimously agreed greatest book of hadith is Sahih al-Bukhari. This is the first hadith in Sahih al-Bukhari. Similarly, multiple different ulama have mentioned this hadith first in the book. Imam Nawawi rahimahullah has a compilation of 40 hadith which is very, very famous. He has mentioned this first. In the Alim course, in the Alimiyya course, in the final year of hadith, 6 books of hadith are read. Sahih al-Bukhari, Sahih Muslim, Tirmidhi, Abu Dawud, 6 books of hadith. And before that, the second to last year, a book of hadith is that called Mishkat al-Masabi, which is, you can say, a collection of hadith from different books. In this book, you can understand how important this book must be that it is read in the Alim course. Out of all the books of hadith, to all the compilations, there are not only 6 books of hadith. There are many, many books of hadith. And there are not only, there are many, many compilations of hadith. But these books have been chosen as part of the Alim course and they have been taught for years. This shows the importance. So in Mishkat al-Masabi, the author rahmatullahi alayhi has also brought this hadith for us. Innamal a'malu binniyat. Why is this? Because this hadith discusses the matter of intention. It encourages a person to correct his intention. And correcting your intention is so important before any and every action, whether it is reading a book of hadith, whether it is performing salah, whether it is sitting in a dini talk, whether it is delivering a dini talk, that if you do not correct your intention, then it is quite possible you are wasting your time. You do not get a single reward for it. In fact, if a person does not correct his intention, and he does a good deed with an incorrect intention, then that good deed can become a bad deed. A person is performing 2 rakat salah, a good deed, but he is performing it with this intention, that I am performing these 2 rakats nafal salah after the dhuhr salah, so everyone can see that I am very pious. People will think that I am pious, because as well as the sunnah, after the sunnah most people go on, I am staying here and performing the nafal as well. Now this, on the day of judgment, he will not find this 2 rakat salah in his book of good deeds. He will find this 2 rakat salah in his book of evil deeds. My beloved teacher and Shaykh Hazrat Maulana Muhammad Salim Durrat Sahib Hafidhullah, he gives a very appropriate example, very easy to understand example. He says that a'mal and good deeds, you can say they are currency. Currency, money, notes. And this currency you earn in this world. So this world is a factory. But the shop is the hereafter. So this currency you earn in this world, and you spend them and you can make use of them in the hereafter by buying the blessings of Jannah through them. But there are 2 types of actions. One is that action which is done with the correct intention. And the other is that action which is done with the incorrect intention. The correct intention is that for the sake of Allah. So I gain reward. So I can gain Jannah. So I can be saved from the fire of Jahannam. If a person does it with this intention, then this is a real note, authentic note. When he takes it to the till, then it passes the till. If he takes it to the bank, then the bank, then it will get accepted. But that action which is done with the incorrect intention, it is a note, but it is a fake note. And a fake note, the person in whose pocket it is, he doesn't even realize it is a fake note. It is when he takes it to the cashier, or he takes it to the bank, then they say, these notes you have brought are fake. So similarly, that person who does not pay, he does not pay attention to his intention, he does not make sure his intention is correct, then he is gathering notes. So he thinks, I am getting very rich. In the hereafter, I will be able to buy a lot of things. I will be able to acquire a lot of blessings of Jannah. But when he goes to the cashier in the hereafter, the reckoning in front of Allah Ta'ala, then he will be told that these notes are fake, they are of no use. You cannot buy the blessings of Jannah with these. So from that we can understand the importance of correcting one's intention. And intention is something which is not visible. If I perform my Fajr Salah today, this is visible. I can see I did it. Other people can see I did it as well. If I recite the Quran today, I can see it. Other people can see it. If I misuse my eyes today, I know of it. It is in my head that this action is. Intention is not a visible action. It is action of the heart. And because it is not a visible action, if a person does not pay attention to it, it can change very quickly and he will not realize. That is why Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam once, he heard the Sahaba radiallahu anhu talking about Dajjal in the masjid. And the Sahaba radiallahu anhu, their conversations were very different to ours. Our conversations between our friends, between our family, rarely it will be about deen. This is something we need to think about. Just think about your life. We are Muslims, which means that we have, as well as living comfortably in this world, we have another purpose, which is the hereafter, which is our true purpose. So you can say we have two purposes, but one is secondary and one is primary. So what should have been the case is that we talk about both of them, and we talk about the primary purpose more. But if we think, if all of us, we take stock of our life, when we sit with our family, when we sit with our friends, how often do we talk about deen? How often do we talk about the hereafter? How often do we talk about Allah Ta'ala? And how often do we talk about the world? In fact, if in our friend circle, in our relative, someone starts talking about deen, then we start thinking he's going on again about it. It's true, unfortunately. It's true, and it's something that we need to think about. We get bored. We try to find an excuse to change the topic or leave. And then we wonder why we are so inclined to the world and not inclined to the hereafter. If this is the only thing we are going to talk about, then of course we are going to be inclined towards it. If we refuse to talk about the hereafter, then how are we going to feel inclined towards it? If in the family one person starts saying that, you know, the elections are coming up, and the rest of the family is not so bothered, but this person keeps saying the elections are coming up, this party, and this, I don't think anyone should vote for this party. This party, this is their policy, and it is against Muslims or whatever, it is against minority groups. And he keeps talking about it. Then even though no one else had importance of the elections, everyone else will slowly start thinking that yes, maybe I should, everyone else will start checking the internet as well. Will start worrying about who to vote for. When something is talked about, then interest, importance, and worry about it is created. And when something is sidelined, then the opposite happens. So the only thing that is talked about in our houses, in our friend circles, is this world and worldly matters. So the worry of this, the importance of this, and interest in this is created. So the conversations of the Sahaba radiallahu anhu were not like ours. They used to discuss deen, and they used to discuss deen frequently. And secondly, the discussions about deen had a purpose. They did not just for example, in this matter, the Sahaba radiallahu were discussing Dajjal. So they weren't just discussing Dajjal like interesting details about him for the sake of interest. No, no. They were genuinely worried that if Dajjal comes about in our time, then how will we protect ourselves, etc. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam heard this. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had already told the Sahaba radiallahu anhu that Dajjal is the greatest trial, the greatest fitna, the greatest test to come upon this ummah. This is why the Sahaba radiallahu anhu were talking about it in the masjid with worry. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam heard this conversation. He entered the masjid. And the Sahaba radiallahu anhu, they saw Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, they must have become quiet out of reverence and adab for him. Then Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, after doing assalamu alaikum wa alaikum salam, he said, shall I tell you about something which I fear more for you than Dajjal? You are talking about Dajjal with great worry because you know I have told you that he is the greatest. But shall I tell you about something which, according to me, I fear more for you than Dajjal? Sahaba said, do tell us, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Al-riya ashirkul asghar. Riya, ostentation, doing actions for the sake of showing off. And then he said, this is the minor shirk. This is the minor form of shirk. What does it mean, the minor form of shirk? Shirk means that a person worships someone other than Allah. He does sajda to someone other than Allah. To an idol, to the sun, to the stars, to a person. This is real shirk. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, when a person shows up, he does an action to show someone, then it is minor shirk. What does it mean, minor shirk? He is worshipping Allah Ta'ala, but with Allah Ta'ala's intention, he has got someone else's intention. That I am also doing it for the people, so the people can see. So he is actually, in his intention of worshipping, there are two things. So it is not real shirk, but it is minor shirk. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, I have more fear about this than about Dajjal for you people. I fear more that your intention not being correct is more likely to take you away from Jannah than Dajjal is. And in another hadith, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, that shall I inform you of something which comes into a person's heart, into a person's actions, more silently than an ant creeping over a rock in the darkness of the night. And then he said, Al-riya, al-shirkul asghar. Riya, ostentation. What does this mean? That this intention of showing off, it creeps in. It is not that a person announces it or a person makes an intention, I am showing off. No, no. This creeps into a person's actions and a person does not realize. So, we need to give importance to actions, but with actions, we need to give importance to the intention behind our actions. Check the intention. Intention, don't assume it will be correct. No, no. Check the intention. If you assume, then many a time it will move away and we will not realize. In fact, we will only realize when we go to the kasha in the hereafter and we will be told that these notes are fake. And this goes for every action. For every action, a person should check his intention. A person should check his intention afterwards as well. Especially after he has done a great action. And this matter of intention is so important. So important. It is so important that your intention can change after you have done the action and it can destroy your action. What does this mean? Let me give you an example. A person, he has gone for Umrah solely for the sake of Allah. He has done the Umrah. He goes once, he goes twice, he goes three times, he goes five times. In 5 years, Allah Ta'ala gives him a lot of time. May Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala take us all to the Haram and Sharifain. And take us all and make us spend our time there in a manner which is valuable in His eyes. And may Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala, when our final moments come, make us pass away in the blessed city of Medina Munawwara and give us a place in Jannatul Baqi. A person, he goes to Hajj for Hajj, Umrah multiple years with for the sake of Allah. But then afterwards, he begins boasting about it. The action wasn't for the sake of Allah. But afterwards he began boasting about it. Now his intention has changed after he has done the action. Now this action is also ruined. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives an example of this in the Quran. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that imagine there is a person that he has a, to understand this example, we need to go back in time a bit. 1400 years ago. The example, the verse, أَيَوَدُّ أَحَدُهُكُمْ أَن تَكُونَ لَهُ جَنَّةٌ مِّن نَخِيلٍ. There is a person and he has a fantastic garden, orchard, a farm. And on there he has fruit trees, date trees, he has grapes, grapevines, and so many other fruits. In those times, and in our time as well in the agricultural countries, farm was a great investment, a great source of money, continuous money, livelihood money. So he is well set, fantastic farm, trees, grapes, other fruits. He is feeding himself, he is feeding his family, and he is selling the surplus and making money. And تَجْرِي مِن تَحْتِهَا الْأَنْهَارِ it has streams inside it, so it is well watered as well, well irrigated. So fruit is coming out regularly, crops are coming out regularly. And then he gets older, he reaches old age. He reaches such an old age that now he cannot earn for himself. He cannot go out and do any other job. It is just whatever income is coming from this farm that can survive, sustain him. وَلَهُ ذُرِّيَّةٌ دُعَفَةٌ. And the state of his children is that they are weak. For whatever, maybe they are young, so they are weak. So they cannot earn for him and they cannot sustain him. So he himself is not able to go out and work. His children are not able to. And he has only one source of income. So he is fully dependent upon it. But it is a fantastic source of income. A garden which has every type of fruits, every type of crop, and it is well watered. But then, فَأَصَابَهَا إِعْصَارٌ فِيهِ نَارٌ فَاحْتَرَقَتْ. Suddenly, a gale comes. A hot wind, his entire farm goes alight and it burns up. This example the Quran has given of that person who does a lot of good deeds. So he has made a garden for himself. And then that time when he is most dependent of he is most in need of those good deeds. When nothing but good deeds can help him, which is in the hereafter, which is in the court of Allah. When he is being reckoned, then he finds out that these good deeds are of no use. They have been destroyed because of his boasting and because of his intention changing. So intention is extremely important during the action, and intention is extremely important until a person reaches his death. That is why pious people, they used to do actions in secrecy. Some actions you have to do openly. Salah with Jamaat you cannot do in secrecy. How are you going to do it in secrecy? Sharia, deen does not tell us that do these actions in secrecy. But deen says that where it is easy to do an action in secrecy, then do so. Don't tell people unnecessarily. Because shaitan can destroy your action like that very easily. So pious people, they would do actions in secrecy. A tabi by the name of Rabi, rahimahullah. It was known about him, someone who carefully observed himself, that he was so particular about hiding his actions, that if he was reciting the Quran in the masjid or in his house, or outside, and he saw that someone is coming from afar, then he would quickly cover his Quran in his garment. So the person thinking he's just sitting there and he's not reciting the Quran. And it is known about multiple tabi'een and multiple pious people that they used to were extremely generous. But what did they used to do? They used to go out at night with food, with money, and distribute it to the poor people. The poor people themselves would not know who has distributed it to them. The poor people would only find out when the person would pass away and the charity would stop. Then they would realize that it was that person who was giving it to us. And they would be so particular that if someone found out about the action, they would say, don't tell anyone. Until I pass away, don't tell anyone because my intention can change. Shaykhul Hadith has Mawlana Zakariya Sahib Rahmatullahi. Great alim. Allah Ta'ala took a lot of work from him, extremely pious. He used to be called to many places to give lectures, and many people would benefit from his lectures. So, once he was called to a place, somewhere in the UK, as far as I remember this incident is. And he was called to the somewhere, and it is the practice that before a great alim, before a great saint speaks, someone introduces them. And the purpose of the introduction is that people understand who he is so they truly benefit from him. So, Shaykhul Hadith Sahib, he was in the wudu khana making wudu. And it was his turn to step to go up to the minbar and speak. And before he was making wudu, and someone was introducing him. Shaykhul Hadith Sahib is like this, he has done this, he has achieved this. And he was in the wudu khana, and through the speaker system, the voice could be heard in the wudu khana. So he began crying. He began crying profusely. And he said to the people around him, that let me at least pass away first. Meaning you are praising me so much. Let me at least pass away first. May it not be that through your praise my intention changes. So, we need to do actions, do a'mal, and we need to maintain the sincerity in them. The higher the sincerity, the better. In fact, from the Quran, the Hadith, we understand that if you do an action and it is accepted, minimum reward is times 10. But in the Hadith, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, that times 10 Allah Ta'ala gives for doing the action. But إِلَى سَبْعِ مِعَةِ ضِعْفًا إِلَى أَضْعَافٍ كَثِيرًا. Allah Ta'ala multiplies this for some people up to 700. And for some people it goes beyond. So the question is that who gets 10? Who gets 700 and who gets more? How does it work? So one reason people get different levels of reward for their action is based on the intention. One person, he has done it with sincerity. The other person has done it with a higher level of sincerity. He will get multiplied more for one action. Sometimes one action is done with so much sincerity that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wipes a person's entire evil deeds and sends him into Jannah because of that one action. So sincerity is extremely important. Hazrat Mawlana Shafi Ali Thani rahmatullahi, he once went to someone's house, someone who had been for Hajj and they had invited him. And shaitan, sometimes our intention changes and we boast and we don't even realize. Shaitan makes us think that we are just mentioning our action to someone. That, oh, you know, Alhamdulillah, I just come back from Jama'ah, 40 days. Alhamdulillah, as if we are praising Allah. But we don't realize that inside our intention is boasting. Alhamdulillah, I just went for Hajj. Alhamdulillah, there was a collection in the masjid and I gave money for a well to build. As far as, this is why a person should hide his actions. Without necessity, a person should not tell his actions. So Hazrat Mawlana Shafi Ali Thani rahmatullahi, he goes to the house of someone who knew him, who called him, and they had been for Hajj. So when he went, then the person, he told his son that don't bring the Zamzam water from the last Hajj we went. Bring it from the Hajj that we did 3 years ago. And he said, take care that you don't break the container when you bring it. Now Hazrat Mawlana Shafi Ali Thani rahmatullahi, he was a sheikh and a spiritual mentor and someone who excelled and who was an expert in the evils of the heart. Such as good intention and the good qualities of the heart, such as good intention, evil intention. So he was an expert in this matter. And this person was his associate, and it was his murid, and it was his, you can say, his spiritual patient. So when this person arrived with the Zamzam water, he said to him that whether the container breaks or not, both the Hajj have broken. Whether the container breaks or not, both through this small action of boasting, both the Hajj which were done with so much effort, with toiling have broken. So, let us make sure our actions are valuable, and let us make sure they remain valuable so that they come use to us in the hereafter. And for this we need to make sure the intention is correct. Check our intentions. Don't assume intention will be correct. Check our intentions. Especially after doing major deeds, because major deeds take more effort. So keeping them safe and keeping them valuable is more important. So we need to check our intentions. We need to, without necessity, not mention our actions in front of any person. If there is not a necessity, then a person should. And if he feels like mentioning it, then he should start thinking that, why am I mentioning it? Is it because I am trying to boast? And thirdly, where possible, a person should try to do his actions in secrecy. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us all the tawfiq to keep our intentions correct, to keep our intentions valuable, and as a result, make our actions such that they come of use to us in the hereafter. Amin. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillah rabbil alameen. Sallallahu ala nabiyyina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. I would just like to say, Jazakallah for all of you, to all of you for sitting. Keep coming to the programs of the ulama in whatever form. I always say that I never tell anyone that come to this masjid or come to my program. The purpose is connecting yourself to ilm and to the ulama and to deen. If someone comes and tell me that I am going to so and so program in so and so masjid regularly, I say alhamdulillah and I feel happy as well. But every person should connect himself to ilm, to ulama and the deen, so that he keeps progressing, so that he understands the role model that he needs to follow. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us all the time.